This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Representatives of the Taliban met with a group of international leaders in Moscow on Wednesday. They want other countries to recognize their rule in Afghanistan. Russia urged the Taliban to create an inclusive government involving all political parties and ethnicities. The group of representatives from 10 countries also discussed humanitarian assistance and support for security in the region. A Brazilian parliamentary committee says President Jair Bolsonaro should be charged with multiple crimes for his handling of the devastating coronavirus pandemic. The charges include crimes against humanity and misuse of public funds. Bolsonaro denied any wrongdoing and accused the investigation of being a political effort to sabotage him. Jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny has been awarded European Parliament's annual Human Rights Prize. The EU says Navalny's efforts to challenge Russian President Vladimir Putin's grip on power has cost him his liberty and nearly his life. They took the opportunity to call for his release from prison. This is DW News. You can find more on our website. That's dw.com.
In a week that has seen Russia almost give the diplomatic middle finger to NATO, today Moscow extended a hand to the Taliban, welcoming the Taliban to their first international summit. The optics here were important, but Moscow did not offer to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate Afghan government. But it is offering humanitarian aid to the Afghan people immediately. And on a point that the Kremlin and White House see eye to eye, Russia says that it will hold the Taliban responsible if or when terrorists begin seeing Afghan territory as a safe space. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
There's no money and everyone is paralyzed.
We need foods.
We need reconstruction and rehabilitation of Afghanistan.
The main unquestionable benefit of this format is that it unites Afghanistan with all its neighboring countries.
The international community needs to recognize this Taliban government.
We're in the process of improvement of governance.
I've never seen the economy as bad as it is now.
Also coming up, U.S. lawmakers are demanding answers from former Trump aide Steve Bannon about his role in the January attack on the U.S. Capitol, but Bannon is not talking. In fact, he is openly defying a congressional subpoena, acting like he is above the law, about to discover that he is not.
So it's a shame that Mr. Bannon has put us in this position, but we won't take no for an answer. We believe Mr. Bannon has information relevant to our probe, and we'll use the tools at our disposal to get that information.
To our viewers on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with the Taliban and Russia and what each suddenly has to offer the other. Today, the Russian foreign minister hosted talks in Moscow with leaders from the Taliban, a meeting of unlikely allies, you may think, but Russia used the event to display its growing clout as an international power broker. At the table were also representatives from China, India, and Pakistan. For the Taliban, the symbolic value of today's summit was huge. The first meeting of regional powers all gathered at the same table with the Taliban present as an equal. Again, the optics here were important. Almost 2 months after the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said today that there is now no alternative to the Taliban in Afghanistan. But he did not offer to officially recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan. A point that, no matter how you frame it, pours salt in the open wound of Taliban legitimacy or the lack thereof. But what matters most now is money. Afghanistan is broke, with all financial assets abroad frozen. The Taliban need cash to govern and to reverse a humanitarian crisis. DW's Nick Connolly has this report tonight from Kabul.
Customers are thin on the ground at this Kabul market, and anything but essential food items are proving almost impossible to shift in Afghanistan's capital these days, with the country's banks paralyzed and economic activity at a standstill. This shopkeeper tells us his daily sales stand at €2. His daily costs amount to almost €50.
I'm 50 years old and I remember all the different governments this country has had. I've never seen the economy as bad as it is now. The Taliban don't have anything to eat themselves. You see them buying a bunch of bananas to share and eating just one each. If they're going hungry themselves, how are they going to keep the country fed?
2 months have passed since the Taliban captured Kabul and imposed strict limits on bank withdrawals to prevent a run on the banks. These traders' cash reserves are running dangerously low.
There's no business. Everything has just stopped. There's no money and everyone is paralyzed. The international community must see how Afghanistan is suffering. I hope these talks bring some kind of positive result, but who knows?
These shopkeepers have banded together to negotiate a rent reduction. But whether that will keep them afloat for much longer is far from clear. Some say they're just a matter of days from closing up shop.
The international community needs to recognize this Taliban government. Otherwise, our money will stay frozen and there won't be any trade. What kind of message are they sending to ordinary Afghans?
For now, at least, the international community is preoccupied with the politics of whether or not to recognise Afghanistan's new Taliban government. But if the current situation continues for much longer, the politics might soon be overtaken by a humanitarian crisis on a scale few could have anticipated.
Our business is finished. We're struggling to pay the rent on our shop. Those are the kind of things that you hear in Kabul day in and day out from shopkeepers. While most people here are probably not following the details of the talks in Moscow, one thing they very certainly are feeling are the impact of Afghanistan's frozen bank accounts and an economic crisis that have left many here struggling to put food on the table.
So much so that for many here, the economy has now overtaken security as their number one concern, something that would have been unthinkable just a few months ago.
That was Nick Connolly reporting there. Well, the Taliban arrived today in Moscow in need of liquidity. The best-case scenario would be a Kremlin showing extreme financial largesse towards Kabul. But what does Moscow expect in return? Russia's special representative for Afghanistan detailed the strings attached to aid, and he made very clear what his country expects from the Taliban.
We expect the Taliban to meet those demands and requests of the international community about inclusivity and basic human rights. Which includes, of course, broadly all kinds of human rights, and they confirmed that they are working on that. They are in the process of improvement of governance and the process of improvement of human rights situation. So let's see whether it will be implemented.
All right, let's bring in our correspondent Terry Schultz in Brussels. Terry has covered Afghanistan for many years. And she covered today's conference in Moscow as well. This conference, Terry, beyond the optics, was it the start of anything new? Is it anything more than a good photo op for the Kremlin?
It remains to be seen, Brent, what will come out of this conference. The call by these 10 countries who attended was that the United Nations needs to convene a donors conference as soon as possible to keep Afghanistan from absolute socioeconomic collapse, something that's been warned about from many corners for weeks now, since the Taliban actually took over the country. And I think without money coming in, the country is going to collapse. We've heard this. Countries right now, because they want to withhold recognition from the Taliban, not legitimizing it as a government, are separating their development aid and their humanitarian aid. No development aid, which would run through ministries, run through governments in normal cases, but humanitarian aid to prevent people from starving on the ground. And we are hearing of cases, Brent, that this is getting very close to the situation right now.
Yeah, the poor man at the table today was and remains the Taliban. I mean, they need financial aid, and they're willing to promise almost anything in return to get it. Let's hear what one senior Taliban figure said today. Take a listen.
Government is in Afghanistan now also inclusive. You know about 500,000 employers working with us. All of them former employees. We don't need for military aid. We need supporting peace in Afghanistan. We need reconstruction and rehabilitation of Afghanistan.
All right, Terry, there you heard it right there. He's saying all the right things. Afghanistan needs financial help. I know that you are still in touch with lots of Afghans who did not make it out of the country. What have people in the country, what have they been telling you about the situation there?
Brent, it's just not true what he's saying. Maybe in some pockets of, perhaps in Kabul, there's some norms that have been resumed. But throughout the country, girls have not been allowed to go back to school. Women have not been allowed to go back to their jobs. Salaries have not been paid in many weeks. People are being discharged from their jobs if they are not seen as loyal to the Taliban. And I hear from people all the time who say, we don't have any money left. We can't even get money out of our bank accounts because the banks are on the verge of collapse with no deposits and everyone, of course, trying to empty their accounts. So as I said before, there is a real fear of starvation in this country. And the international community knows it needs to step in to help. It just is running this very delicate balance between helping the Taliban line its own pockets and preventing people from dying there. And I don't think they've figured it out yet. This is something that we're hearing from NATO officials as well as from governments of, you know, countries that want to help but haven't figured out a way to do it yet.
NATO defense ministers meet tomorrow for the first time since the Taliban takeover. Now, the temptation to put, to put Afghanistan in the past, it's huge for political leaders across Europe and in the U.S., but Afghanistan, it still works in NATO's favor when those nagging questions connected with the alliance's existential angst, when those questions arise, especially with America's pivot to Asia. You know, the recent submarine and security deal known as AUKUS, that's just the latest example. Let's listen to what Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said today.
The disagreement, the differences on opinions about AUKUS within the alliance and Afghanistan does not change the fundamental need and message that Europe and North America has to stand together, because we face a more competitive world, we face more state-to-state rivalry, and then it's even more important that we stand together as the 30 allies in NATO.
Terry, the head of NATO there, I hear him saying Afghanistan was an out-of-region mission for us, and it will probably not be the last. Good that NATO was already there and prepared. Am I reading him correctly?
I actually asked this exact question to him today and said, personally, how would you reflect on lessons learned before you write this report that you're going to be doing over the next months? And one of the things he said very specifically, Brent, was that he did not want one of the conclusions NATO comes to be that you don't launch large out of area operations anymore. He said that he did not want that to be one of the legacies of Afghanistan. But at the same time, what I'm hearing from sources at NATO is that there is a lot of disagreement behind the scenes as to what role, if any, NATO should play now in Afghanistan. If there should even be any conversation between NATO and the Taliban, that hasn't been decided yet. You've got one ally, Turkey, which is seen as very close to the Taliban. You've got other allies that say, we don't even want to speak to the Taliban. Mm-hmm. So this is something that NATO is going to have to deal with. And tomorrow is going to be the first time they're doing that around the same table since the Taliban takeover.
And, of course, all of this talk about NATO's future cannot ignore the Russian reality. I mean, the events just of this week, Moscow shutting its mission to NATO, I mean, it's the latest evidence that NATO continues to face a foe in Russia. And with that in mind, consider today's news that Alexei Navalny, the imprisoned Russian opposition leader, he has been awarded the Sakharov Prize, the European Union's highest human rights award. Take a listen.
I welcome that Alexei Navalny has been rewarded with a Sakharov.